Let's read together 2 Chronicles chapter 32. In this chapter, we have the record of King Hezekiah's miraculous victory over the Assyrians because of his trust in the Lord. We also have the record of Hezekiah's mortal illness and his miraculous recovery after he cried out to the Lord. Let's begin with the first 8 verses of 2 Chronicles chapter 32. After these deeds of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered Judah. He encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them over to himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his leaders and commanders to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. And he strengthened himself, built up all the wall that was broken, raised it up to the towers, and built another wall outside. Also, he repaired the Millo in the city of David and made weapons and shields in abundance. Then he set military captains over the people, gathered them together to him in the open square of the city gate, and gave them encouragement, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles." And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, with some background notes. In 2 Chronicles chapters 30 and 31, we saw the great revival that took place during King Hezekiah's reign and the good results that followed. Now here in chapter 32, we have the record of Hezekiah's great victory over the Assyrians through one of the outstanding miracles in the Old Testament. Here in the verses that we just read, we have the setting and the occasion for this great miracle. The northern kingdom of Israel, with its capital of Samaria, had fallen to the Assyrians in 722 BC. Now the Assyrian army under Sennacherib turned its attention toward the southern kingdom of Judah, with its capital of Jerusalem. We see in the parallel account in 2 Kings that Hezekiah acknowledged his mistake of not paying the annual tribute money and gave Sennacherib a huge amount of money to try and buy him off and have Sennacherib withdraw his troops. But Sennacherib would not be bought off with this money. He wanted total surrender. Already the fortified city surrounding Jerusalem had been taken, and Jerusalem was being placed under siege. But with the encouragement of the prophet Isaiah, Hezekiah did not surrender, but he trusted in the Lord and continued to fortify Jerusalem. And that brings us to our doctrinal teaching points for 2 Chronicles chapter 32. So doctrinal point number one, trusting in the Lord does not exclude training. Trusting in the Lord does not exclude training. All the battles of the Lord's people in the Old Testament contain lessons and principles for the Lord's people today concerning spiritual warfare. Notice in the first 8 verses of this chapter that Hezekiah was not only trusting the Lord, verses 7 and 8, but he was fortifying Jerusalem at the same time, verses 3 through 5. There is no contradiction in these two aspects of faith. In spiritual warfare, the same is true. We trust the Lord, but we don't just sit back and do nothing. We train ourselves in the Word of God as to the principles of spiritual warfare and how to defend the faith and avoid pitfalls. We take on the full armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, so that we are ready and trained for battle. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed." 2 Timothy 2:15. In other words, get trained. Training takes time and effort. All of this is portrayed in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, where Hezekiah was trusting the Lord completely, but doing what he could to fortify Jerusalem and get ready for the battle at the same time. Trusting in the Lord does not exclude training. Doctrinal point number two, trusting in the Lord does not exclude threatening Trusting in the Lord does not exclude threatening. That is, threatening from the enemy. Verses 9 through 23. After this, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, sent his servants to Jerusalem, to Hezekiah, king of Judah, and to all Judah who were in Jerusalem, saying, Thus says Sennacherib, king of Assyria, In what do you trust that you remain under siege in Jerusalem? Does not Hezekiah persuade you to give yourselves over to die by famine and by thirst, saying, The Lord our God will deliver us from the hand of the king of Assyria? Do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands in any way able to deliver their lands out of my hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people from my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you from my hand? Furthermore, his servants spoke against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. Then they cried out with a loud voice in Hebrew to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten them and trouble them, that they might take the city. And they spoke against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, the work of men's hands. Now because of this, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried out to heaven. Then the Lord sent an angel who cut down every mighty man of valor, leader, and captain in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned shamefaced to his own land. And when he had gone into the temple of his God, some of his own offspring struck him down with the sword there. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. And many brought gifts to the Lord at Jerusalem and presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all nations thereafter. Before the great miracle of verse 21, God allowed Sennacherib to threaten Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem and try to make them throw in the towel and surrender. Hezekiah was belittled before the people and accused of misleading the people. In his threat, Sennacherib mocked Hezekiah concerning the great revival when he said in verse 12, Has not the same Hezekiah taken away God's high places? These would be the high places where incense had been made to the Lord, but it was not at the temple in Jerusalem, as the law required. These high places, remember, were removed during Hezekiah's revival. The threats of Sennacherib certainly portray the threats that Satan brings against God's people. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. In verse 15 here, Sennacherib's threat challenged the Lord himself. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you or persuade you like this, and do not believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? And in verse 17, Sennacherib put this challenging threat into writing. Sennacherib also wrote letters to revile the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, As the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand. Well, Sennacherib did not realize that he was challenging God Almighty. And in verse 21, we read that in one night, the whole army of the Assyrians was destroyed. This great miracle is not only recorded here and in 2 Kings and in the book of Isaiah, but also it is documented in the secular records of Sennacherib, which we have today on clay prisms. So God allowed this enemy threat, but he delivered his people from the threatening challenge. Now, do you see the spiritual lesson? Trusting in the Lord does not exclude threatening. Doctrine point number 3. Trusting in the Lord does not exclude testing. Trusting in the Lord does not exclude testing. Verses 24 through 31. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and he prayed to the Lord, and he spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Hezekiah had very great riches and honor. Moreover, he provided cities for himself and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him very much property. However, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land, God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. In Isaiah chapter 38 and 2 Kings chapter 20, we read more of the details of Hezekiah's sickness and recovery. God healed Hezekiah and gave him 15 more years to live. The sad news here is that Hezekiah did not honor the Lord for his healing, but instead he became proud. However, we read in verse 26 that he humbled himself. This was good. Hezekiah was further tested when a delegation from Babylon came to inquire about the celestial sign that God had given Hezekiah. We know from the accounts in 2 Kings and Isaiah that Hezekiah failed this test by foolishly showing these Babylonians all the treasures of the house of the Lord. Hezekiah had to be rebuked by the prophet Isaiah. As good King Hezekiah was tested, so we will be tested. God would desire to know all that is in our hearts. Verse 31, that he might know all that was in his heart. Trusting in the Lord does not exclude testing. Now, what about practical application? Set your sights on an honorable discharge. Set your sights on an honorable discharge. Verses 32 and 33. Now, the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, indeed, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So Hezekiah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the upper tombs of the sons of David, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem honored him at his death. Then Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. You know, when you leave the military, you either leave with an honorable discharge or you leave early with a dishonorable discharge. When believers die, it is like being discharged from our service to the Lord here on this earth. And it's either an honorable discharge or a dishonorable discharge. Hezekiah was given an honorable discharge. Verse 33, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem honored him at his death. Hezekiah was not perfect, but his life as a believer was filled with deeds of devotion and goodness. Verse 32, the Apostle Paul had his sights set on an honorable discharge when he wrote in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. What about us? Set your sights on an honorable discharge.